Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Philosophy Exchange podcast. I am Mason, and I'm joined today by Johanna and Lorenzo. Today, we're going to be talking about our first impressions of LSE when we began our time as master's students. But before we get into that, we'll take a few minutes and talk about who we are a little bit more and where we came from. So, Johanna, maybe you can start us off.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Hi, Johanna.
Good to see you too.
Yes, I guess I'm just going to start. Before I came to philosophy, I did my undergrad in psychology. So actually for me coming to LSE, I was super overwhelmed because I felt like I was the only one without a philosophy background.
Oh yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from. How about you, Lorenzo? What was it like starting at LSE for you?
It was my second master in philosophy. Of course, there were different courses, but the main problem for me was the first time that I studied entirely abroad. So I did an Erasmus exchange, but it was really not the same thing. And of course, LSE is like really demanding as a university. So I had a lot of high expectations on the level of the university. At the same time, I had maybe low expectations on myself. So this was really scary. What about you, Mason? Where did you come from before coming in LSE?
So before coming to LSE, I was originally from the United States where I did my undergraduate degrees. I studied philosophy as well as environmental sciences and physics. And I came to LSE looking for an understanding within the analytic tradition within philosophy because my undergraduate institution focused more on continental philosophy.
It's interesting to know that in US, the stronger tradition is the continental one. It's quite paradoxical.
It might not even be the case, but my first university, my undergraduate university, was a Jesuit university, and they focused more on these things. So maybe it was just because of the university I went to specifically, rather than maybe a larger school like University of Pittsburgh or UC Irvine or something like this. They might have a little bit stronger analytic tradition.
So did you feel like there was a big difference between your undergrad university and LSE then?
Oh, yes, very much so. Just in terms of, first of all, prestige. I mean, LSE is known around the world and very few people know about Loyola University Chicago. So I love both schools a lot, but they gave me different perspectives, which I think is helpful for now my movement forward into post-LSE life as a PhD student.
You fell in love with Europe, didn't you?
I fell in love with all of you guys. It allowed me to stay here. Any reason to stay is a good enough reason for me. But yes, I found a great opportunity to continue my studies here in Europe. It's a great place to live.
Background knowledge. So we studied together in different courses and classes. That's only for who is listening to us.
I'm representing philosophy, social science today.
And Lorenzo and myself, we are both from philosophy of science.
Exactly. But what I wanted to ask you, Mason, do you remember how you felt in the first few weeks? I'm asking because when I came, and obviously, as I said, I didn't have a background in philosophy, I was just so overwhelmed with everything, and I was so scared. And I was just wondering if you had a similar experience, even though you came from philosophy.
Yeah, so two things on that. Coming to LSE and doing a master's degree explicitly in philosophy or philosophy of science, it gave me the first opportunity of my academic life to focus on one topic, because before I was studying physics alongside philosophy, alongside ecology and politics and history, all these different things. So to be able to focus on one topic was a completely new experience for me and something that I was looking forward to. But also the environment that is LSE was quite daunting for me as well. I was quite worried that I wouldn't be able to keep up academically with all the other students, with the rest of you, before I had the chance to know you all more.
And then you realized that we were nothing special.
we were all in the same boat, and we're just trying to help each other out.
How did you feel, Lorenzo?
Well, I was really scared. And for me, I have to admit, the language problem was really a big one, because of course you don't understand clearly what is going on around you. You're so like spending so much energy just trying to remain focused on what the other people are telling you. Maybe it's really important, really essential, vital information for an exam or for an assignment or for I don't know, a change in the timetable. And you know, I the first 2 weeks I remember I was going back home. And I was just exhausted, really exhausted. It was like really demanding. Also, to study a paper that in Italian I would have finished in 1 hour, it took like 3 hours to read it in English. Because of course you are focusing both on the language and the terminology, and then you have to reread it just to understand exactly what is the feel of the paper that you're reading. So I was really tired, at the same time really excited. I would say it's a scary type of excitement. At least it was nice that since from the beginning I had the opportunity to create some bonds with my classmates. They are really nice people. I'm still in touch with most of them. What about you, Joanna?
Yeah, man. Oh my gosh. I was just so overwhelmed by everything, like language. And also, oh, I remember I had, actually I had fleas and then my phone broke and then I had to navigate my way through London without a phone, and there are no clocks anywhere. So I had to start asking people for the time all the time. I had to remember the place where I had to go. And then everybody just seemed so smart. And then I was just feeling so small. And I also remember that just the fact that everybody like kept on repeating, this is a prestigious university, this is LSE, blah, 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 just made me like so anxious. And I think it took me a while to understand that I don't have to be afraid of anything. If I just do what I like and I just stick to what I like and stick to myself and concentrate on my own progress and my own development, then, you know, it doesn't really matter what people around me are doing, because that's the main part. I just feel like LSE was really good at making me really scared of being part of LSE itself. And there's just so many things I wish I had known when I came first to LSE.
Now that's very interesting. Lorenzo, is there anything you wish maybe you would have known while you were starting at LSE?
Yeah, so probably many questions. Now, the first question that comes to my mind is, I would be able to like leave the city and take the opportunities that the city offers, even if I'm attending this master course, because it was really demanding. And at a certain point, I started to think that only people that were completely devoted to the master and to study could be able to surpass it. Actually, it wasn't true. It was just my first impression, because I thought that all the requirements and all the scary things that they told us at the beginning were actually, everything was literally true. Instead, probably the truth of those scary things were also depending on myself. So when I arrived, I was really scared. I was paralyzed. I was not knowing where to go for a classroom. At a certain point, you just, you know, adapt to the situation and you start to understand what are the most important things that you have to do and what tools you have to use to handle the situations.
When you just said that, I just remembered being like in the second or third week, I asked someone like, so like, do you really have time to read like all the recommended readings? I mean, it takes me hours to just read like one reading. And they were like, yeah, I read all of them. And I was like, what? I was like, completely freaking out about it and think like, oh shit, I should have time to read all these. But then like in the end, I just realized like, it's nice if you do read them, but you can't really expect yourself to do everything. And you just really have to tune in with yourself. Like, okay, what can I do right now? What is the most important thing to do for me at the moment? And focus on yourself rather than other people.
So that's quite interesting. For me, what I wish I would have known at the beginning was how important the relationships were between myself and my course mates, and what a great resource these other people, these other individuals were, not only on an academic level to share ideas, but also on a personal level to get to know them and know their histories and see, even though we all may come from all these different places around the world, as LSE is an incredibly international university, we all have some common values, some common ideals that we are putting forward. And I wish I had known how nice it is to have these people in my life just on a personal level, so we can go to the pub after courses one day and continue these conversations, but in more of a relaxed format and get to know the city that way as well.
Yeah, I think if I could go back in time and see my anxious and stressed out self, I'd be like, don't worry, this is going to be the best year of your life.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Enjoy the ride with all the ups and downs. Are there any things you wish you had changed? Like if you could go back now, and things you wish you could change, I guess.
I think that, so I took the opportunity to spend time with my friends, so my classmates. But I think I could have done a little bit more. Of course, sometimes you're just tired and you want to go home and just go to bed because you studied all day. Sometimes I would have like forced myself a little bit to go out of the shell and take many more opportunities to do something during that year that was not just university related, just studying. And I'm really happy that I had some opportunities to do that. At the same time, I think, like you said, Joanna, that sometimes maybe I was like overestimating the amount of work or the amount of things there to do, and maybe underestimating my ability to tackle with them. And just to add something to what Mason said, I was thinking that the most important part for me of my relationship with my classmates was really transcending the academic level. So of course, we had to have some kind of interaction. It was necessary to spend some time like discussing about university stuff and studying together, preparing some short answer questions and these kind of things. But I was just waiting for the moment that we finished the work and just going for a beer and discuss even about philosophical stuff, but you know, in another way, there was no purpose, there was no utility to gain.
Yeah.
It was just having fun.
Exactly.
And that was like my safety net. I always use this expression, the safety net. And without my friends, it would have been really, really much more difficult to survive to the, well, the undeniable level of stress that the master produces on everybody.
Yes. Without all of you, without all of us as a group working together, we kind of went through the fire together as a group and came out stronger at the other side because we helped each other and read each other's work and pushed each other to be our best while also having opportunities to just relax and be ourselves around each other, not always at this high academic level.
Yeah, you remember that even when we had to choose our courses and we were going around the market in LSE and trying to understand what we were interested in, I think I talked a lot with my classmates and other students just to understand what their impressions were.
Yeah, I didn't know what to choose. There were so many courses and I tried so many things and I actually ended up taking an outside option course.
Really?
Yeah, it was on gender and development, something. I don't remember. But I just, because I felt like I wanted to span my net as wide as possible. And I took the Einstein course, I think it was at the time. And yeah, it was really hard for me to choose the course. But in the end, I think I just chose what I knew best because I realized how overwhelmed I was. And I was like, okay, just like stick to what you know, at least a little bit. And then just go forward from there and try to like just not drown in the work.
So in the end, were you happy with the courses you chose?
Oh yeah, totally. Like when I was thinking about like things I could have changed, I don't think I would change anything because like at every moment I would just try to choose the option that felt best for myself without thinking too much about like future or consequences or anything. Just like every moment, just like right now, what feels good for me and whatnot. And I think even though I did some things that probably weren't perfect, not only probably, but definitely weren't perfect, I think it was just my way of finding my my own path. Yeah,
it's interesting that how you say that, because for me, when I was picking my courses, I was thinking very much about the future, about what would be a good avenue for me to go down by choosing these different courses, how that will help improve my standing to get into a nice PhD program or influence my future research. But I think in the end, I should have been more like what you were saying, reflective on who I am as a person, because now having gone through it, I wish I had taken those courses that were more related to writing essays rather than at the end taking a full exam, because I know myself now and before that I'm not very good at taking exams, but I am quite good at writing essays. So if I would have maybe moved my course choice to be more in line with who I know I am, I might have had a little bit of better outcome at the end.
At the same time, it's even, you know, right to try to break a little bit the boundaries of ourselves and like try to do something different. Of course, I opted for Johanna's strategy probably in the sense that I chose on the basis of topics, actually. They were really close to what I've studied before, or they were like a deeper investigation of the same topic. And then I regretted a little bit. There was not time enough to do all the courses. There were other courses that I would have liked to do. Fortunately, now I'm a PhD at the LSE, and for my first year, I have to attend other master's courses, so I had the opportunity to do that as well. And but yeah, so it was not so easy. Probably at a certain point, I had to choose between two courses. And I think one was actually more useful and more demanding at the same time. And the other one was interesting, but I had the impression that it could have been easier. Afterwards, my expectations, they weren't exact. At a certain point, I decided it was like the second main course that I would have attended. And so at a certain point, I just decided to go with the easier one because I wanted to focus more on my main course that was already like set. So sometimes there are also these kind of strategies. You know that something could be useful for you, but you will not have enough time to do it properly. You have also to consider how much time you have, how much energy you have for each course. You have to decide also on which one you want to focus more.
Did you also from the beginning start thinking about grades? Because Mason, you said that you were thinking about the grades. I don't think I had that in mind. I was just wondering how it was for you, Lorenzo.
I was really scared from all the marks. Things I understood how formalized it was, so with all the requirements to get an I mark. And at the beginning, I didn't know what to think exactly because I didn't know what did they expect for a 65 or a 70. Then I realized it was not so easy. So for some courses with some professors, of course, it depends a little bit also on who is marking you. But I understood it was not so easy. But for me, the master was already an achievement if I passed the exams. So it was like really surplus when I realized that I had the chance to get something more. So I was not thinking at the beginning that I would have applied for a PhD at the LSE. Just after the results, after the outcomes of how much I studied, I thought, okay, maybe there is a chance. Because of course, not all the universities are asking the same requirements, and LSE, you know, it's not really easy. It was my first time doing an entire year, an entire university course abroad. So I tried to get the expectations on my outcomes really low. What about you, Mason?
Yeah, when you were saying about the different ways that professors mark the papers based on this very explicit grading criteria, it made me think about how one of the best things I found about LSE was these formative essays and how important those were for me to be able to try things out, different styles of writing that I might not have done if I knew that this was for a hard grade for a summative assessment, since I knew that I had the opportunity to be a little bit more free in my thinking. It allowed me to, I think, grow as not only a writer, but also in my research and in my thinking process. But I don't know about you, Johanna, what was the big takeaway for you during your time at LSE?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I learned so much in such a short time. I felt like 1 year just went by and it could have been 3 years. But I think in terms of thinking about grades and everything, I remember that at the beginning I didn't care too much about it. And then there was a time where I was like comparing myself to other students and thinking like, oh my gosh, everybody gets such good grades. And how can I like never go beyond a certain point? And I was also new to the UK grading system. So I completely like did not understand. I don't think I heard from many people who had more than 75 points on anything. So I was like, well, what kind of system is that? If you can't even, you know, get the highest grade. It's very different to the grading systems I was used to before. And then I got really scared about like grades and everything and realized that I wouldn't be able to go into like top PhD programs and because like so much pressure was or maybe I put the pressure on myself. And then one thing I really regret, actually, I think it was my first formative, not sure what it was, but it was graded definitely. And I had 15 words too much. And I didn't know that the word limit was like a hard thing. And then they took away 5 points from me. I think it was fair. I think because it said everywhere, do not go over the limit. In my old university, it was like, you know, more or less suggested limit. So I regretted that afterwards. But in the end, I never thought like, oh, I wish my grades would have been better when I started to apply for PhD programs. Because in the end, I got into a really nice program with a person that is very much working on stuff that I'm working on. So I think I put a little bit too much pressure on myself, but I think also the fact that it was so there was so much pressure on me really made me like thrive and develop in a much quicker way than I would have in another environment. So I really appreciated that as well.
It's really difficult to find in my mind what is the best thing about LSE. I'm this kind of person that is always thinking about the other people around, not always in the positive sense. Of course, I always like try to find some kind of acceptance and gratifications from the other people. At the same time, it's the first thing that comes to my mind normally. So I was thinking that probably I was really lucky to find in such a nice group of people, really committed, really interested and enthusiastic about what they were studying. It's really true what Jason Alexander told us in the very first welcome event for all the master students. He said something like, we can learn from our peers as much as we can learn from readings and the lectures. It was really true. Probably the seminar system that I didn't know as an Italian student, we don't have many seminars. We have normally a frontal lecture with the professor that was explaining, and the students maybe can ask questions, but it's more like the stages for the professor. I really appreciated the seminar structure of learning. So of course it really depends on the background conditions and the initial conditions, but if you can organize it well, it is really, really useful to understand things and is really, really rich of new insights, new ideas. And I found it really, really helpful.
I completely agree with you, Lorenzo. The ability for each of us to share our ideas with one another in that setting, to have these different perspectives of people who might be coming from a background that's in economics or a background that's in psychology or theoretical physics or all these different things, to be able to all come together and talk about issues. People come at them from different angles, and to hear those different perspectives is very important for not only learning about the topic, but seeing the topic in a different light than what you might have looked at it before. So instead of just writing a paper from your perspective, you have the ability to talk with your friends and say, well, what do you think about this topic? Well, I see it in this way rather than what you're saying. And maybe that's something that you can add in later and say, well, there's a counterpoint to this as well, that while I might not have come to it myself, by having my good friends with me to talk about these things, we can kind of come to a collective understanding of what's really going on.
Yeah, I think I wish I'd known that the people that I was studying with are not just people who are more clever that I have to be afraid of, but actually a really good source of being able to learn more from them and being able to be challenged by them. And I think in general, like my course was a little bit different than yours. I think yours was a little bit smaller, philosophy of science. Maybe that was why you felt more like a group, but I didn't have quite the same feeling in my program, to be honest. Probably also because of like my own attitude towards my studies. I came to it and I was like, okay, I don't need friends. I just want to do my stuff. But then I think around like February or so was just when I got to know like you guys and other people from my program and other programs as well. And that was when I actually started to make friends. But like for the first half year, I wouldn't really say that I made a lot of friends. But I think had I known that I can learn so much from other people rather than just being afraid of them. I think that would have been probably very helpful and less anxiety inducing. Yeah.
So from the beginning, maybe if you might have known this, you wish you would have maybe talked to us a little bit earlier and joined into our little group and had a bunch of fun at all of our events.
Yeah.
I think also the people who were studying in the philosophy of social sciences, sometimes they come from really different backgrounds. And I don't know, maybe in your cohort, there were many people older than us. There were many people like that have worked a lot before coming for a master. And so also the lifestyle of these people, it's a little bit more difficult to like make it compatible with each other. So we were in general more or less all students of really similar age in a new city starting a master. So in a certain sense, the status of our minds maybe was easier to fit together.
What do you suggest this year's students to do, just in terms of like people not being really on campus or not being able to see each other so much? Is there anything that you would suggest them to do to find their way to other people?
So there is something that LSE University organized in a certain sense. So it's like for any class, any seminar, there are peer study groups already assigned. So you have already like, in a certain sense, is the university that is giving you like a group of people with which you should discuss outside of the class and spend time discussing about topics, etc. This can be helpful in a moment when it's really difficult to come in campus for many people. And before becoming friends, you have, of course, to break a little bit the ice. And studying together should help in this sense. So normally it's easier after a study session, maybe even on Zoom, to say, okay, why don't we stay here and we have a beer from the computer or playing Cards Against Humanity as we do? Or maybe you find the reasons inside of yourself, within yourself, to ask people, okay, where do you live in London? Should we meet for a beer sometimes? And the first occasion, the first bit to start talking, to start having a conversation, and then maybe it's easier to start something more serious, hanging together. And it's interesting that I'm saying more serious for like going for a beer.
I was just saying, like studying. Our relationship a very serious friendship relationship.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, I think also like one thing that I could add from our side, I think one of our goals is to make this year's master's students feel more part of a community. Part of the reason for doing this podcast is exactly that, actually. And with that, would like to invite everyone who wants to take part in the philosophy exchange. You're totally welcome. We have a way of bringing people together. We have a few things that we're doing at the moment. One of these things is the podcast. If you have any questions that you would like to be answered by people who have done the program, us and also the other community members of Philosophy Exchange. We're all LSE alumni from the philosophy department. We are happy to answer any questions you're having. If you want certain people to be interviewed, if you want to know more things about certain people, we could try to invite them to the podcast. And most importantly, we also have a thing on our website where you can upload an essay or a draft of an essay, and we will be able to help you. You'll be assigned someone who has some knowledge on your essay topic, and they will try to give you some feedback, talk to you about things. If you have certain specific questions, you can also write them down there. And we just want to try to be there for you and make you feel like you're part of the LSE community, even though it might not be quite as communal as it was in the past years.
So thank you for listening, and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you, guys, and see you for the next podcast.